Morning, everyone. Been a great week. As a matter of fact, yesterday, Jeanette actually set up our garden, as it were. We're still in the process of trying to get it all worked out and everything, but she actually set up the flower beds and that, and it's wonderful seeing that. It's so peaceful to be in a garden where you can actually see the flowers and see the creation and enjoy that. And of course, that's some of what we're going to be talking at and looking at a little bit tonight. So as we look at the Sabbath rest that we actually have, that I'm going to look at the Sabbath rest we have in Christ. We're going to look at that part of the creation story. Now, it's interesting. We started a series on Genesis, and you know that for the last 3 weeks, we've been in chapter 1. So if you consider how long that's going to take you to get through the Bible, that's a but yeah, Jesus will come first. So, we're going to look at, so at least today, I've just made it into chapter 2. So we're going to look at that. But you might wonder how, you know, to talk on the Sabbath is one of those tricky subjects, isn't it? Because there's a whole lot of things. Years ago, I actually kept the Sabbath, so you can know something of where I'm coming from with all of this. I kept the Sabbath diligently for 12 years. Religiously, there was Saturday Sabbath from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. I wouldn't do any work. As a matter of fact, I even lost a job because I refused to do any work on the Sabbath. And, you know, they wanted me to work on that day. And I said, no, this is God's day. I'm not going to do any work. And which was all great. But I then, years later, after 12 years of doing this, I realized that I was judging people as to whether they were good Christians by how they kept the Sabbath. So, and unfortunately, Jeanette will tell the story of how I used to come home and feel the TV to see if she had been watching it whilst I was away. But anyway, what I actually did was I actually realized that I was judging people's Christianity by how well they kept the Sabbath. They could be adulterers, they could be thieves, they could be liars, but if they kept the Sabbath, they were real Christians. You know, and unfortunately, that's what religion does. Religion actually turns you to things where you're actually judging by that, and God actually is judging by the heart. He's judging by the inside. And the Sabbath was given as a blessing, as a rest. I had turned it into a burden. And unfortunately, a lot of people are like that today. And some people have even tried to change it from the Saturday to a Sunday and turned that into a burden. So today we're going to see what God did in the beginning and what the Bible actually tells us about that. So it's a little bit of a Bible study. So you're going to have to keep up with me on some scriptures. I did have some overheads. I don't know if they will work. If Abby's managed to do some magic on it, you'll get to see it. If not, you won't. But it's not important. Find the scriptures as we go through. So let's go, first of all, to the next slide. Here we'll see, these are the days of creation that we had. Now, you might think, well, those are all in a funny order. How can we actually see what's happening on those? But you'll notice that in creation, God has actually used a whole lot of set, and he uses sets of three. We're going to have a look at these sets and see how they build up to what God actually, when God actually presents the creation. There's three lots of sets I want to look at. First of all, the first set is God tells us the realms. If you remember in verse 2, he says the earth was formless and void. Do you remember that? That was tohu and bohu, this lovely romantic sort of rhyming sort of phrase. But in 3 days, days 1 to 3, we see God give it form. He actually creates realms, three realms. And in the next 3 days, 4 to 6, he fills each of those realms and gives them a ruler, something to rule over those realms. So you see the days are actually connected. If you have a look, if you can actually see that, day 1 with day 4, day 2 with day 5, day 3 with day 6. So in day 1, what did God do? What was the first thing he did? Now this is back to your Sunday school days. Light and darkness. He actually separated the light from the darkness. He created the realm of light. On day 4, he then put rulers. He actually sets things to rule the day and the night, the sun and the moon. And if you remember rightly, Paul told us that he didn't even name them because of the fact that people would worship them. But they were the ones ruling the day and the night. They set the times and the seasons. They filled the light and the darkness. On day 2, he separates the firmament above from the firmament below, and he creates the heavens and the sea. So he creates the sky and the sea. And then on day 5, he fills those. He fills the sea with fish and creatures, sea creatures. He fills the sky with birds. They actually multiply and fill those with life. On day 3, he actually gets the land to come up and he creates vegetation on the land. he actually fills the land, you know, with covers it with vegetation, like Jeanette's doing in our garden. And then on day six, he actually then fills that land with animals, both wild animals and tame animals, is what how it's sort of described. And these fill the land and they rule the land. So if you actually have a look at it at that point, that's like a complete story. That's like a conclusion. It's like he's done the whole of creation and it's reached a conclusion. But that's all. If you go to the next slide, he then on day six, he does something different. At the end of, I see it picturing it, at the end of day six, he creates man and woman. And he says to man and woman that they are to rule not only over the realms, but over all the ones ruling in the realms. They're the ones that are actually given rulership over everything. And that's like a conclusion, isn't it? The 6 days, so the number six where it's reached its finale, and we now have man ruling the sea, ruling the air, ruling the land. And we can see that eventually, by the way, what he didn't know then, man would be the one that is king in the skies. Man would be the one that is king on the seas. Man would be the one that is king on the land. And so he's ruling over all of them. Another conclusion. So we got the first conclusion where it's just nature. The second where we have man ruling. But he doesn't end there. He actually gives us something else. And with that, I want you to now turn to Genesis chapter 2. And then if you look at the next slide there, Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read this. This is now what he says about this day. And he says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of heaven and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." So here we have the heavens and the earth created. And God, if you follow, there was a lovely pattern going in the first 6 days, wasn't there? It's nice and easy to read. It's easy to follow because there are things that happen each of the days. For example, it says that, "And God said" at the beginning. And then something happens, something creative. He speaks and something happens. And then it goes on and God looks at it and says, "And it was good." And it ends, the evening and morning were the first day. And there's a nice pattern that goes through all 6 days. We come to day seven and that pattern is broken. We don't see that pattern at all on the seventh day. On the seventh day, we actually see God doesn't say anything. It says God rested. And when he speaks, the speaking is actually the creation. It's a blessing. He speaks a blessing over that day. And it says that there is a blessing to enter into his rest. And he offers us this rest. And then you'll notice that the day does not end. There isn't an evening and morning. This is the seventh day. It's like it's something that continues. So God is actually talking about something more than just a day of rest here. And and if you remember, what did Adam and Eve do at this point? So at that point that they rested, if you read the story going on, so I'm giving you, these are snippets from what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. But when it goes on, you find that God walks with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. He actually is at peace. Adam is told that when he toils the ground, it actually produces fruit. So his work is producing fruit. He's at peace with God. He's at peace with the creation, because as he works with it, it produces the fruit. It actually gives him everything he needs. He's at peace with himself. He's at peace with all around him. And God brings man and woman, and they're at peace together. If you remember that they're naked and unashamed, they are actually one together. So here we have rest and peace happening. But then we know this story happens, that something breaks. Man disobeys God. He sins. And they are cast out of the garden. And now when he works the ground, it doesn't just bring forth fruit. It also brings forth thorns. And what we actually realize that when man is away from God, life becomes unfair. Life becomes broken. And for most of us, don't we find that? You work hard, you do everything. Jeanette and I, we were in Zimbabwe for all those years, and I was one of those diligent people. Because I'm an accountant, I'd set up pensions, I'd set up insurances. I had myself set so that when I reached retirement age, that was it. We were going to cruise. But life is broken. Zimbabwe goes through hyperinflation and we lose everything. And that's life. Life does not always give you the fruit of what you've worked for. And we find that if you read through Genesis, do you know that the Sabbath is not mentioned again in Genesis? And all you read about is how life is more and more broken until there's a flood, till Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. And even when God calls Abraham, Isaac, and Lot, you find that they all still disobey God and eventually end up slaves in Egypt. And the next time the Sabbath is mentioned is when they are freed out of Egypt and God gives them the Ten Commandments. Now, Paul read the one version of the Ten Commandments in Exodus when he first gives it to them. And he actually shows that he's giving this, linking it back to the creation days. But you know that he mentions the Sabbath again. And if you go to the next scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he actually, just before, in Deuteronomy, by the way, this book of Deuteronomy, if you're ever going through the Bible, reading through it, the book of Deuteronomy is Moses is speaking to the people of Israel just before they enter the promised land. At the end of the book of Numbers, they've reached the plains of Moab. They're about to cross the Jordan into the promised land. They're all set. But Moses now, he covers the whole story of where they were to explain to them what had happened. And part of it is retelling the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 5, he goes through the Ten Commandments again. And just read this. This is how he describes the Ten Commandments. And notice he doesn't link it back to creation this time. He does something else. He says in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and the female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there, from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." This was to be a remembrance of the freedom that they were going to have from Egypt. So what we find on the Sabbath has is a beautiful picture. It shows us that it's a day when we have rest from work. It shows us that it's a day when we have freedom from slavery. It shows us it's a day when we have peace with God. It shows us it's a day when we are living in holiness and blessing. Isn't that beautiful? And so, of course, if you go on to the next scripture in Deuteronomy, when he's talking again, and there's a number of times in Deuteronomy, by the way, but I've just taken one of them, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 8 to 10. He says to them, "You shall do according to all that we are doing here today." Everyone doing what he says, "You shall not do." Let me get that right. Changes the whole meaning, doesn't it? "You shall not do according to all that we are doing here today, everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance that the Lord your God is giving you. But when you go over the Jordan and live in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies around so that you live in safety." They actually came to see the promised land as their Sabbath rest. They were going to go into the land where they were going to be at peace with God again. They were going to be one with God. And this rest was something that they were looking forward to. But then we come to, and I'm going to skip over a whole lot of the story now. We know what happened when they went into the promised land. Were they at rest? Well, no. They sinned. They ended up actually asking for a king, so they had to bring in a king. They ended up splitting the kingdom into two. They ended up then actually still becoming, so you couldn't distinguish between them and the pagan nations around them. So God sent them into captivity and eventually pulled them back. But in Hebrews, if you wanted to go to the New Testament now, Hebrews chapter 4, beautiful passage. If we go from Hebrews chapter 4, going from verse 1 to 11, it talks about what Joshua did when he led them into the promised land, but links it to the Sabbath and rest. Let's just read the first three verses. It says, "Therefore, while," and this is Hebrews 4, verses 1 to 3, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should have seemed to fail to reach it. For good news came to us as just to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." Israel was promised a rest that they would enter. But we know that when they got into the promised land, they didn't actually find that rest. Verse 4 to 7. "For he has spoken somewhat of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterwards in the words already quoted, 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' They did not enter their rest." And what he's saying is, do you know that there is still a rest offered to all of us? And that rest is also on a specific day. Do you know what day that is? You don't have to wait for Saturday. You don't have to wait for Sunday. That day is today. That day is today. We have been offered that rest. You can enter that Sabbath rest today if you do not harden your hearts, if you turn to Christ in faith and repentance. And notice what he then says in verses 8 to 11, how he ends it off. "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter. That funny, that word strive means to work. Let us therefore work hard to enter that rest, so that no one may fall short, fall by the same sort of disobedience. So we have a Sabbath rest offered to us that God is offering, that each of us can actually get, and we don't have to wait for a specific day. For them, it was a day and a place. But those day and a place, that was not the real Sabbath. You know that the real Sabbath was never the seventh day of creation. The real Sabbath was never the promised land. The real Sabbath was always a person that we were being offered. It was always a relationship with a person of Christ. Those things were merely shadows, as we shall see, of the reality that we can actually find in Christ. And I just want the scripture that was key to me. Now, when I, for those 12 years, when I was struggling with the Sabbath, it was on a Christmas morning, I woke up and I discovered we were saved by grace. It was like scales fell from my eyes. It was like I could suddenly see. And the scripture that suddenly came alive to me is the one I want to read to you now. And it was this. I suddenly read it with new eyes. Because it's interesting, when God opens your eyes to understand, you suddenly start seeing things. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is Jesus speaking. Jesus saying, "Come to me, all of you who are laboring, and I will give you rest." Not the Sabbath will give you rest or the promised land will give you rest. I, Jesus, will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, so that's showing that Christ is the Sabbath. He is offering himself. If we come to him, we can actually rest in him. We can find all those things: rest from our work, freedom from slavery, peace with God, and we will find that we'll actually be holy and accepted before God, and life can be a blessing. But you know that in Matthew, when it was originally written, there were no chapter breaks. We put chapter breaks in there to make it easy for us to find things, but sometimes those chapter breaks can confuse things. Now, this is one of the places where I think the chapter break actually confuses, because chapter 11 ends there, but you know that it goes straight into chapter 12. And if you carry on with chapter 12, verse 1, And I put up there from verse 5, but I want to read from verse 1. It says, "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat." So he just spoke about, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And now he's walking through the fields on the Sabbath, eating grain. "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' And he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, and which was not lawful for him to eat, and he gave to those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read," now notice from verse 5, which I put here, "or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." What he's saying here, if you're following that, he's saying, you know that we're told to rest on the Sabbath. What do the priests do on the Sabbath? Well, back in those days, you know that they were doing all the sacrifices. They were, their busiest day of the week was the Sabbath. So if you're telling them to rest, as a matter of fact, if you talk to any ministers, we used to do it. I don't know if Russ does it, but we used to always, Monday was my day of rest. Because Sunday was always a hectic day, so we used to take Monday off as the day of rest. But priests actually are very busy on the Sabbath. So in actual fact, they're breaking the Sabbath law. But they're guiltless. Why? They're guiltless because the temple was seen as more important than the Sabbath. You know, because the temple pictured the coming of entering the presence of God. And Jesus is saying, who's greater than the temple? Well, Jesus is. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the new temple, isn't it? He says, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." He is the new temple that we are a part of. We are the living stones in his temple. So he is greater than that. So he is saying that he is greater than the Sabbath. So they were so hooked on the physical day, they missed what that day was pointing to, which was Jesus, who is greater than that. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, not only is he greater than the Sabbath, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the King. He is the ultimate ruler of the Sabbath. He is the one who can give us rest. He is the one we come to for rest. So he is our Sabbath rest. So if anyone says, "Do you keep the Sabbath?" Well, I do, because I rest in Jesus. Yeah, I don't find my rest in a day. I don't find my rest in a place. I find my rest in a person, in the person of Jesus. Amen. So that's, and if you want to see, by the way, just as a scripture that I've put in, the next one you can just look at quickly. In Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, we actually see that the Sabbath is a shadow. I'm just trying to see where I wrote that. It's on the screen. Let me read it on the screen. That's even better. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These, the Sabbath that's talking about and those other things, those are only shadows of the things to come, but the substance or the body or the reality belongs to Christ. All of those things are merely shadows of Christ. So for me, this was such a revelation because, you can, if you go to Romans 14, which we don't have time for anything here, but Romans 14, it actually talks about the fact that if you want to keep the day as holy to God, you can do it. If you don't want to do it and you want to keep all days alike, you can do that. We find our rest in God. Now, the principle of resting one day in seven, by the way, everyone should do it. The principle of resting, but that is not what it's talking about here. This is talking about the rest we can find with God. This coming, and I don't know what you've gone through in life and what you've had, but all of us bring burdens. We all have work that we've done. We've all things that we've carried up to this point. And you know, you can bring all those burdens, all that work, and you can lay it at the foot of the cross and find rest in Him. And if you remember what they were looking for in the rest there, we find rest from our work. We find rest from slavery. What are you enslaved with? Are there sins that you're battling? Are there burdens that you're carrying? Do you know that we can actually lay that down with Christ and we can find freedom from that? Are you at war with yourself? Are you sort of not knowing where you're going to fit and what you're doing? You can find peace with God. And you're sort of carrying the guilt of all the things you've done in the past. You know that in Christ, you are now a saint. You are now freed from all that. His blood, he is willing to take all those on himself and give you his righteousness. We can live in holiness and blessing. So I want to end with that last scripture that we looked at. Terrible when you've got papers. You've got to find the place where you're on. Oh, it's on the screen again. No, let's go back to the screen. Okay. So it's, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I just want to end with that so that you know that we've introduced all these things, the different things you have. And come to the real Sabbath, the Sabbath rest you can find in Jesus. And if any of you are with that, and then we're going to go into communion right now, and I think it's a beautiful thing where we can actually look at that. "Come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest." Amen. Amen.